Blog Talk Radio.
This is Drew Doc Webb from Dr. Snake Oil, and I would like to introduce you to The Inside Scoop by Spitfire. We discuss anything and everything motorcycle. Now here's your host, Vicky Sanfilippo, a.k.a. Spitfire.
Well, welcome everyone to The Inside Scoop by Spitfire. And it is now, this is December 8th today, 2015. And if you're tuning in, it is live. You will be able to participate live if you would like. We are allowing call-ins on this show. We don't always allow call-ins, but today we're going to be discussing Waco 7 months after the Twin Peaks shootings. I think you say Waco and everybody turns their attention to what happened to motorcyclists on May 17th of this year. So we're going to be discussing that. We've got some special guests who will be here in the studio with us. And before we get into what we're going to be discussing today, bringing you up to date, I've got a couple of quick news items. I did not do news last week, but there are a couple of things I want to make sure that I mention here. One of those news items is that Eric Buell from Buell Racing, his assets are going to be scheduled for a second auction because on December 10th, the guy who was supposed to be picking up all of the items that he had up for auction failed to close on his winning bid. So it is going to be going back up for auction. There are some issues that had happened with the values and the items that were being auctioned off. So a new valuation is going to have to occur, there's definitely more behind this story. So if you want to learn more, you can just Google Eric Buell Racing and find out more about that. Now, another thing that is happening is that Harley-Davidson Motor Company's top marketing executive, Mark Hans Ricker, he has left the company. He had less than a month after the motor company had announced its plans to increase its marketing efforts to boost sales, he exited the company. So another guy named Sean Cummings, who is a top executive in Latin American sales, is going to be replacing Ricker. And Sean has been with the company since 2007, so not sure how that's going to all roll everything out, but a little shakeup within the company, but I'm sure nothing they can't recover from. Now, Harley-Davidson is also in the news this week because they are offering free training to first responders. For the past year, they have offered free motorcycle safety training through their Riders Academy to military. Any military person who wants to take their training gets to do it for free. And they now are expanding that Operation Personal Freedom to the first responders, which would be EMS, it would be emergency medical services, and firefighters. So if you want to know more about that, you can Google those details. Operation Personal Freedom is what you want to be looking for, or Harley-Davidson free training to first responders. So kudos, Harley. Wanted to start with a couple of positive things. Now, there are some positive things that are happening in Waco to try to help the families of the people who suffered from this tragic event. But just for those of you who are kind of like, yeah, I heard about that. It was a while ago. But, you know, who knows what's happened. It has been amazingly quiet. It has been something that I personally have a hard time getting my head wrapped around because of how quiet it has been about this, about what happened in Waco on May 17th. It is acutely in the minds of every biker who lives in Texas, but nationally, it's not quite as well known. Certainly people know that on May 17th at Twin Peaks, a restaurant in Waco, Texas, that there was a big club meeting. It's called Confederation of Clubs, And there were people coming from all over the state who were going to be meeting. There were Christian motorcyclists who were coming together. There were three-piece patch holders. Some people know what that means, others don't. But there were people from all walks of life who were coming together to talk about events that were going on. People could bring up anything that they wanted to, conflicting events, or, you know, is there anything in the rights community that should be communicated to all the people. And that day, there was a skirmish of some kind between two motorcycle clubs. According to all the reports, it was a skirmish that happened between the Bandidos and the Cossacks. And that skirmish led to a gunfight that, to this day, we don't know exactly what happened. The details of that have not been released. It's a bit frustrating for people because it has been so long. It's been 7 months. And still to this day, we know that 9 people were killed. We know that 20 people were injured in that event. We know that 239 people were originally detained when this happened, and that 475 weapons were confiscated. Now, those weapons, from what I understand, included things like wallet chains. Okay, so when you think of weapons, you're often thinking of things like, you know, guns, knives, that kind of a thing. And some of the weapons were those, 151 guns. I mean, I think if you grabbed any group of 239 motorcyclists, you wouldn't be too surprised to find 151 guns. It's still a tragedy that has had long-standing results and long-standing effects. There were 177 people who were arrested and taken to jail that day, but since that time, there were also 9 people who have been picked up on sealed indictments. And they had 9 that they had issued, and all 9 of those people have been picked up now. So the actual total is 186 people. I am going to be bringing someone into the studio here who knows intimately what's happening with this tragedy. He's very involved. I think he's probably been working his buns off full time on this since this happened. And one more thing I want to update you on before I bring Louis in to the studio is, and also bringing Dwayne in, is that just yesterday there were 2 people who were arraigned. Finally, the first 2 arraignments happened, and 6 more of those are happening today. So they're finally starting to get people into court to be able to set some court dates. And one of the tentative trial dates for one of the guys that was arraigned yesterday is May 31st, 2016. That's how long he has to continue to wait. So that's just one. It's a tragedy of epic proportions. So Louis Nobbs is part of the Christian Unity and NCOM, the National Coalition of Motorcyclists. And he's joining us from Texas. Louis, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Nice to be here.
So glad you could. And I'm going to see if we can get Dwayne in here. Dwayne, are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Am I saying your last name right, Grider?
That is correct.
Yeah, kind of like Ryder, but you've just got the grr at the front of it. Grider.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I mean, Louis, you've told me a little bit about some of your involvement, but can you take us like back to when this had all come down at the very beginning? And I believe you were one of the first people to be allowed to into the jail to actually work with some of the people who were in jail at the time.
Yeah, that's an episode all in itself. It took a while to even do that. They refused me entrance into there, but they a law is very clear on that they cannot refuse a spiritual counsel at all. And so I got a lawyer to go through that. It took a couple weeks, but we got it done. But I want to take you back even further so you know what we are. we're from different clubs. There's six of us, a team of six of us, and we, like you said, I'm on the board of NCOM, and my position on the board is a Christian Unity liaison. And so through that position, I was able to connect with a lot of Christian groups around the country. And while having that position, we started a thing called the Motorcycle Resource Team, which we call the MRT. And it has chaplains, first responders, numerous
Can I I'm just going to interrupt you for just a moment. If either one of you are, have your phone on speaker, if you could take it off of speaker, we're getting a lot of feedback. So I just want to be able to hear everything you're saying.
It's not me.
All right. Okay.
I'm not on speaker.
Okay. So go ahead. Go ahead, Wolf.
And so we have this in place already. So when Waco came down, it was easy, not easy, but it was quick for us to respond to this because of something we already had in place, and that is with all the confederations throughout Texas and other states that we have the MRT program. So we were able to get together, come up with a plan of attack on what we could do to help these families and these guys out, and so that's why we were quick to respond to this incident.
Well, you know, that's really awesome, the motorcycle resource team that you have. I mean, how many hours do you spend working on that?
Lately, all day at home. I know Dwayne is on the road every day delivering. I'm more out doing fundraising across the country because I travel more. Just in the last month, I've been to Boise, Idaho, New Orleans, Kansas City, also Pennsylvania. So I'm out there doing that, trying to raise funds for this. And Dwayne is in the area here with four other people, making connections with the families and delivering cards to them. And I'll let you share, let him share a little bit about that. And my wife is here on the, which is Denise, which is on the computer, and she's fielding all the information that people are sending in, responding back to them with letters, pointing us in directions to go. And lately, just as of late, now that we're 7 months into this, people have run out of their own resources. The people who thought that they could get by on their own are now finding out that they can't. And so we're getting... Now we're getting more and more people calling in, and so that's why the fundraising has to continue now.
Okay, well, you know, there's a couple of things that I want to bring up before we talk to Dwayne a bit about, because he's probably got some specific things that he can tell us about. But, you know, I wanted people to know how difficult it was to even get people on the phone who can talk about anything. It's we contacted the Observer, we contacted Denton Abate, we contacted three attorneys who are representing people, one that's civil and two that are criminal, and we contacted individuals, and nobody wanted to come on the radio to talk. I mean, the gag order that has been issued is very, very strong. It's shocking to me that more information is not available. However, these guys are out there doing things for the families and helping the families and intimately involved. And we hope that by telling you these stories that you will know how you can get involved and you can help. This was... something that affected many, many motorcyclists. Maybe there may have been some people who were involved in criminal activity. I mean, if you grabbed a group of that many people just about anywhere, you would find some people who have some backgrounds that they wouldn't want to necessarily talk about. But there were also many innocents in this as well. And so, you know, we want to bring you up to date on that. I want you to know that one of the people that I contacted in Texas said there is no scoop on Waco. You can't report from Wisconsin or any other state with insider information. It doesn't exist, and it will never surface. This was and is a local situation to a local problem with many layers of support on both sides. And all I want to say about that is I don't think it's just a local problem. I think it is a problem that needs to be handled locally, but my personal belief is that this is a motorcyclist issue. You cannot call people brother and sister if you don't behave that way. Just because my brother lives in Dallas area, in Plano, and my dad lives there, does not mean that if something happened to them, that I wouldn't care, that I wouldn't get involved, I wouldn't try to do what I can. And I think that's, you know, what we're talking about when we've got a couple of guys who could have sat back like others and just said, well, we're just going to wait and see what happens. Or they stepped up and said, wait a minute. You know, there are a lot of innocent people here, families and other people who are affected by this whole tragedy. And we're going to do what we can to help. So with that, I'm going to let you guys come back in a little bit more. And and Dwayne, can you were out today handing out cash cards to some of the families.
Yeah, we went to help a family that's got six kids. And the guy didn't have a job right now. A lot of these guys have lost their jobs. They're working men, you know, and not just, I'm not just talking about day laborers. There's guys who've lost their license to do security installs. There's finance officers that were high up in insurance companies that have lost their jobs. One of them wasn't even wearing a patch. He just happened to be hanging around. And it's amazing the stories that these guys have. I can't share those stories, but I can tell you a little bit about their families. One of the first families that was helped was actually Louis. He says he's not boots on the ground, but at the first he had to be. And one of the families, the first families we went to, a little four-year-old girl looked up at Louie and said, thank you, mister, now we can go buy food. We've had instances like that, and it's not just the times when we go by and we sit with these families and talk with them and we pray with them and we're seeing things happening. But, you know, when you find a guy that he's been trying to rough it and for the last 3 weeks he'd been eating nothing but peanut butter, not peanut butter and jelly, not peanut butter sandwiches, just peanut butter because that's all he had. And it is difficult getting the word out to everybody that, you know, we're available. We probably assisted around 50 families, close to 80 children involved in the families that we've been able to reach so far. But that list is growing because people, like Louis said, they're reaching the end of, I thought I could do this on my own. I'm getting in a bind now. We're paying utility bills. We've kept electricity from being turned off. But just being able to go in, because we're clergy, so we're not part of the Do Not Associate. We can go in and give that, be there for them from that aspect. But, you know, I had a guy that, you know, he doesn't believe in God, and that's fine with me. We're still going to help him. And sat there, talked to him for a little while, asked him if I could pray for him. He let me pray for him. I get up and I start to walk out, and this was just a week ago. And the guy goes, you know, all my friends are on my Do Not Associate list. You are the first person that I've got to sit and talk to since May. And so I was fixing to leave. Instead, I sat down. We talked 2 more hours, you know, and I've called him back on the phone. But these guys have lost, not only are they suffering financially, they're hurting. One guy, a toy run that's going to take place to the Baptist Children's Home this weekend, he's the one who put that together years ago. He has never missed that toy run. And he's not going to be able to go because he can't associate with other bikers. And that kind of stuff is just really eating on these guys. And you know, we can be there for them. We can be an ear that they can listen to. But you can't totally mend that.
No, Vicky, but, you know, thankfully
Vicky,
you're there. Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned the date in May for their court dates. That non-association is going to carry on until May. You know, everything that they have standing now continues to that court date. So this is not something that just because they have the court date, it's not over. They can't just, you know, go out there and be with their buddies now. This is they can't do anything until May still. So this continues.
Oh, yeah, and of course that could get delayed again. I mean, that was actually the guy who requested, you know, whose lawyer requested a speedy trial, which supposedly in the United States we are entitled to is a speedy trial, nothing that's going to drag on and on. And yet
You can double-check that speedy trial that was set for May 31st. It's my understanding that the district attorney's office canceled that and put them back in the queue with everyone else. So it'll be after May 31st unless something's done, because the district attorney canceled that early trial option for him. And we still there's over 80 of these families that the guys still haven't received indictments. So they're still waiting for that shoe to drop. And they're not even in the queue yet to be able to set any kind of court dates yet. And they have do not associates. There are a few who have been able to get the do not associate lifted. It's been a few that because of where they worked with other people. But for the most part, that do not associate is still there for everyone. One of the guys is a ordained minister. And he worked hard over the years. There's a soup kitchen in Austin that feeds the homeless. And he was key in helping get a lot of that going. And there's a lot of bikers that work that soup kitchen every day. He can't go to that soup kitchen. He's a Vietnam veteran that can't go to the VA and work where he was doing, driving a golf cart, taking people, hauling them up to the doors. He did volunteer work as a pharmaceutical tech at a hospital. They've revoked his license. All the volunteer work he did, he can't do any of that volunteer work anymore. And that's what he lived for. He was retired, so he lived doing volunteer work for all these other kind of things. He can't do them.
And now all of this is because they are they were supposedly associating, right, with...
Well, but because they had on a patch that either – well, and I say because they had on a patch because there's a guy that was a finance officer with an insurance company that doesn't wear a patch, but he happened to ride in with guys who did wear patches.
Wow, yeah.
And so he's what we call slick back. He doesn't have any back patch. And he had a job, lost his job. They can't afford to have someone that's charged with organized crime. He got hired by another company. After about a month, they realized, even though they did the background check, they finally realized, hey, you can't do this, so they fired him again. This guy's about as clean as a whistle as anybody you'll ever meet in your life. He's an Iraq war veteran. You know, the biker culture is full.
I'm sorry, you back on?
Yes.
I heard
all
you
right.
said mute.
Sorry, I thought it was Louie talking. So. Okay, so you're saying that this guy is like this finance officer. I mean, he's totally clean. He's as clean as anybody, and yet, you know, because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, his life is turned upside down. I wonder, I've got to tell you personally that I wonder if that is part of the reason that the feds came down so heavy on the motorcyclists there, because they want the rest of us to be scared to death to be around people who might have a three-piece patch.
They wanted to discourage us. But like I said earlier, I've been going to Confederation meetings across the country. All the ones in Texas, they're still meeting. There's still 200 to 300 people showing up for Confederation meetings. You know, the hat's being passed for the Waco, and you know, it didn't discourage people. It encouraged them to go on. I mean, people have got the fight back in them because of Waco, and by that I mean just going against the system, coming against them.
And that's where the money. Bikers.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That's where the money's
right.
From.
Right. I mean,
it's coming from
bikers
all over the United States.
Yeah.
And we even got a check from an inmate in New York State prison, $25 out of his account to help the families.
Wow.
He's probably not a bandito.
Everything, you know, together is what helps. I mean, there are 18 million motorcyclists in the United States. And if every one of those motorcyclists sent in $10, who can't afford $10? You know, send in 10 bucks. You would have what you need to support these people and these families. And that's my challenge to people is, you know, do something that's going to help. You know, if you can dig a little deeper, do it. But I challenge people to give no less than $10 and see if you can do that. Now, if you are one of these people that needs the help, I mean, you're talking about eating peanut butter because that's all you got. You know, I want to tell a quick little story. It sounds like it might be the guy that you went to help today, but his family was reaching out and telling their story. And the guy's name is Tino, and he's a type 2 diabetic. His stress levels from the Waco tragedy have caused his blood sugar to go as high as 487. Now, just so you guys know, I'm a nurse, so I can tell you that the normal blood sugar is supposed to be 110. So 487 is darn near comatose. Now, this is this dangerously high level caused him to get admitted to the hospital, and he was also admitted for an infection and spent 4 more days in the hospital. So he lost his job. They have no insurance. They can't afford to get medications. It was almost to the point of him having to have an amputation for the infection that he had. He's been waking up at night in cold sweats. He's been moaning in fear, thinks he's reliving that tragic day, and his doctors diagnosed him with post-traumatic stress. So he was the main breadwinner for their family. He lost his job of 20 years where he was making $22.50 an hour installing security cameras and alarm systems in residential and commercial businesses. But, of course, because of this, he won't be able to do that type of job anymore because it's a security type of a business. And his wife was expecting triplets during that time, which they believe that she lost her babies due to the tragedy. Now they're facing foreclosure on their home, and their only vehicle is scheduled to be repossessed next month. They just don't know what they're going to lose next. And, go ahead.
Tino's one of the families that we're helping. But, you know, we're limited. We can help. What we're doing is we're paying utility bills. We're keeping the electricity turned on. We're keeping the water turned on. We're helping with groceries. So we don't have the resources to go making car payments and house payments and stuff like that. So, you know, we're doing as much as we can for them to make sure. But this guy, you're right. He lost his license with the state of Texas, even though he's not proven guilty yet.
You know, so, and Vicki, we raised close to $50,000. And just so people know out there, we do this out of our own pocket. Dwayne, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've only spent like $80 on paper, stamps, stuff that we mail out, the famous Waco patches that we have, and that's it. We don't use any of it for ourselves. It all goes to the families.
We pay for all our
expenses. 99.9%. Yeah, 99.9% of what you're raising. I mean, if you think about how many people need your help, $50,000 might sound like quite a bit, but you divide that by, you know, 80 people, and it's not even $1,000 a person. That's, you know, this poor family, they have 6 kids they're trying to feed. And he isn't even able to get unemployment. So, you know, here they sit, you know, and thank God for you guys helping them out. I'm sure that, you know, that they cry, you know, to have you being there giving them a hand. Nobody wants to take that.
Yeah. No, and
not
in
where
Texas,
we want to be
kind
in
of
our
a
lives.
Proud bunch anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's, that's pretty tough. But at least, you know, I think they're more willing to take it from somebody from Texas, from a local person who is there trying to help and not wanting anything back, you know.
Well, so. And the people, the guys in the clubs in Texas, they're a close bunch. I mean, they do really treat each other like family. But the amazing part of this is the fact that you know, and Louis's done it. The four of us are boots on the ground, but Louis, if it wasn't for Louis getting out there and doing the stuff that he's doing, beating the bushes to raise the funds, we wouldn't have it. Because the funds are coming in from all over the United States, from Abates and Confederation of Clubs and from clubs themselves and from individuals that are, you know, I got a check in today that said, not much, but it helps. And it's a $20 check. $20, that adds up.
Yeah, Vicki, let me share a quick story with you on another club who has a major issue going on, and they're a well-known club in this country that has a well-known issue going on in the courts right now over their own patch. They were at a meeting, and they told the head of that board there that they wanted their $3,200 that they were giving in, that it was they had collected for their own Save Their Patch Fund, and send it into the Waco Aid Project to us instead of keeping it for themselves. And that, to me, really spoke about brotherhood, because, you know, it's a completely different patch, completely different state.
Absolutely.
But they got
and I think that's what Tony Pan is saying. He just made a comment that I want to read to you guys on Facebook. And by the way, anybody who has a question or would like to make a comment, if you could, you can either do that at Vicki Sanfilippo, a.k.a. Spitfire, on Facebook, or if you'd like to be put on live, you can call into the phone number here, and that is 713-955-0602. And press the number 1 on your touch tone on your pad, and that lets me know that you have a question, and I'm not just making people lie without them wanting to be. But Tony says, where's the outrage over this country, you know, across the country? He said, it's commendable that the Shield of Faith is stepping up and helping the families, but I can't understand how the bikers, and more specifically rights organizations, have been virtually silent over this. And I want to just throw my two cents in. I know that you have gotten support, but not universally. You know, you've gotten it from some of the groups, but there are plenty of groups you haven't heard from. So the 186 indictments, boilerplate, supposedly the requisite culpable mental state, meaning they were there to do bad things, when in reality, most of them were unaware anything was going on until they heard the gunshots. Some were just arriving. They were oblivious to any trouble. No other group of people or association would ever stand for this kind of abuse without making as much noise as possible. Bikers' lives matter, and there should be a universal demand for justice and due process, meaning speedy trials and equal protection under the law. You know, that's kind of like outside of exactly what you guys are talking about, but I think what it touches in me is, you know, I feel so out of control with this, like so upset, but not knowing what to do with that. You know, how can we help? Can you tell us, like, where do we go to help?
Dwayne and Denise, you can, just if, here, I want to get Denise on here because that's her department.
All right, Denise, welcome.
In the meantime,
just a minute.
Yeah, okay. You can send the checks. You can mail a check. It's to Texas Christian Unity, but you make the check out to Shield of Faith. That's a church that's allowing us to use their accounting to do all this, so that everything's clearly got an accountant watching it. Everything's clear and above board. But you mailed it to P.O. Box 2321, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. So that's Shield of Faith, P.O. Box 2321, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
Okay, and I'll put that up on Facebook as well, so that'll be in the event in case anybody is listening that saw the event on Facebook. So we definitely get the word out that way.
And we also have a PayPal page that they can go to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's SOFAOG, that's Shield of Faith, Assembly of God. So SOFAOG.org/ Waco-Aid, A-I-D-E, and everything's got to be in small letters. So Waco-Aid. So you can put that up too. You can go to our Christian Unity site, and it's at the very top of the page, the Facebook page for MCOM Christian Unity.
Okay, now is this a tax deductible gift that is given or not?
Yes, it's going through a church. So it's 501c3. What Shield of Faith allowed us to do is they set up a completely separate checking account for these funds. I deposit them all. Pastor Frank is also the chaplain for the Confederation of Clubs here in Central Texas, and he's the one that actually gets on the phone and pays the bills. So, but it is tax deductible because you're giving through a church.
Okay, awesome. I am going to mute you guys for just a minute. I'm going to play a video, and it's I just want people to hear the audio that goes along with that. So, take a listen. Oh, I have to play the ad again, of course. So, got to get through this ad. So that would be the Texas Christian Unity, and here we go.
Into the Twin Peaks shootout in Waco. A Balk Springs man says he's being prosecuted even though police admit they have no evidence he was even involved. He is speaking for the first time only to J.D. Miles.
And I decided that Sunday morning to travel down with the guys to Waco.
It's been 6 months since that motorcycle trip to Waco left George Bergman out of money, out of work, and in jail.
I just wish it would be over with.
The Box Springs truck driver arrived minutes before this happened. He had parked his bike at Twin Peaks and was walking to a restroom at the neighboring restaurant.
I took a step or two, and I heard the first shot.
Bergman says he wasn't carrying a gun.
Just tried to lay there and play invisible.
Within minutes, his friend was in his lap with life-threatening injuries.
I do the whole stay with me thing and hold my fingers in his bullet hole so he didn't bleed out on me.
After the last shot left 9 bikers dead, Bergman was covered in his friend's blood and approached by Waco police.
I'm 48 years old. I've never had a gun pointed at my head.
Inside the McLennan County Jail with 176 other bikers, Bergman claims in a lawsuit he spent more than a week in the same clothes and without a pillow to sleep on. His wife had to borrow money while he spent 20 days locked up, costing him his job.
They almost destroyed my family.
The lead Waco detective was recently asked in court if Bergman was facing charges, quote, because he was present at Twin Peaks and he was wearing patches and cuts that would indicate he's a member of the Desgraciados who support the Bandidos. The detective answered, yes, sir.
I was flabbergasted. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Still, Bergman faces a felony and possible life in prison that he blames solely on his biker affiliation.
We go to bars, we drink, we hang out. This isn't Sons of Anarchy.
Waco police declined to comment on this. You know, you guys are so intimately involved with hearing these kinds of stories, and I know you are prevented from repeating any of this stuff that you hear in the confidence, you know, of visiting with people. So that's why I'm playing some of the things and telling some of the stories that I know of. But, you know, how do you take care of yourself when you're hearing this all the time?
Well, we wait to cry till we get on the bike and leave.
Yeah.
And Vicki, I would like to put Denise on in place of myself right now because I want her to share her contact information. We're getting something like 30,000 people a day on our Facebook page, and she can share a little bit about how we get by.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Louie.
Denise, I just came in from school.
Oh, well, you know, so thank you for all you do. You know, I know the two of you just have made this like this is your life. You go to school, so you get away from it for a little bit, but that probably doesn't
no,
help
I
much.
No, I teach special
home
ed, so it doesn't get in the way.
Oh. Oh. So that's a break for you? Is that what you're saying?
No, I said I teach special ed, so it's really not that much of a break for me, but
yeah.
You just
oh.
learn how to roll with it all.
Yeah, I have a daughter that's a special ed student, so yeah, she benefited from having some really wonderful people that helped her.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, go ahead and tell me what your role is.
Well, generally I run the Facebook page because Dwayne used to help me, but he's so busy dealing with all the chaplains and all the you know, funds that come in and making sure they get distributed to the families. And so I run the Facebook page, and over the past few months I have spent time on a lot of other Facebook pages, basically doing search and rescue. Some of the families are unaware that we're out there, because they're not allowed to be involved with the motorcycle community, so they're kind of limited. And then there's others that are afraid because they've had bond conditions that say that they're not allowed to be involved with bikers. And so we have to let them know that the chaplains are the only ones that are dealing with them, and they're exempt from the bond conditions. You know, they're considered spiritual counsel, so they're exempt, and they're able to talk to them. And I'm sure Dwayne, if he hasn't shared already, it has been a really good thing for our chaplains to make that personal contact, because it's at those times that those guys can kind of let their hair down and cry if they need to, you know, and just, you know, it's tough with their families. I mean, when there's so many children involved.
Right, right. It sounds like it has just affected them in every single way. Yeah, we've told some of the stories here of you know, how some of the families have been affected, and I'm sure this, you know, every single, there's 186 stories right now, and that doesn't include the people who were there, you know, that witnessed what happened, and maybe have gone about their lives but are still traumatized, and. You know, so the work that you guys are doing is just so paramount. And the guys, Dwayne shared the P.O. box, just so you know where we're at, and how to access your your PayPal, you know, through the SOFAOG.org website. But you know, where is your Facebook page? What is the name of it?
It's called NCOM Christian Unity. So it's NCOM Christian Unity.
And that's where you are doing a lot of your work is through that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
it's actually
really don't...
it's actually NCOM, it's actually NCOM.Christian.Unity in Facebook. So.
And if people are looking for lots of news and speculation, we're not sharing it on there. Our whole purpose is to encourage the families. We share a little bit of news, but not anything really speculative. We try and get people to pray for other people that, you know, that are going through it. I posted yesterday that there were arraignment trials all this week. So, you know, people are praying for that. And, you know, posted a video of one of the guys who went ahead and waived his arraignment this week. He's not going to court. He already knows what the charges are. He's already pleading not guilty. So Blake Taylor is an awesome guy. He's a strong Christian, and he's also a bandito. And, you know, he's just, you know, I posted a video of his on the page.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so have some of the people then been, you know, of the 177, are all of them waiting or have been arraigned?
No, just this week there are arraignments. I don't remember the total count for this week, and it's mostly some of the ones that they were either in the Cossacks Motorcycle Club or the Banditos Motorcycle Club, and so there was like 8 per day. So yesterday and today was for the Cossacks, and then Wednesday and Thursday will be some of the banditos, and not all of them are coming to court. Their lawyers are dealing with it. They're waiving their arraignment, which is not a bad thing. It's nothing different than, you know, you're just not showing up. You already know what your charges are.
Okay.
There are a few that have insisted that they're not going to do that because they want the judge to have to look them in the eyes when they say not.
Yeah.
Okay. So now who's helping with all these legal expenses? I mean, I know you guys are helping with the daily issues and expenses and helping with the families, but who, you know, is there anybody that's helping with the tremendous legal expenses as well?
What do you know about it, Duane? I know that, you know, we don't. We try and make it to where when we pay people's bills, it kind of it frees up some of their money to pay their legal expenses, because some of them have been on leg monitors, and they're like $370 a month, and then they're paying $500 a month just to retain their attorneys. So there have been other groups that have been you know, raising money for legal defense, but we don't know of anybody really specifically. Some of our families have had to ask their family members to loan the money.
If anybody's
guys who've sold cars and trucks and motorcycles to be able to pay legal fees. But we're trying not to get involved in that side.
Okay. All right. I just thought you might know where,
would have
if
to
somebody
tell
was
about,
interested
Louis,
in that.
Louis might know more about that because he's on the board with Income, but we have really focused on trying to do. And I know some of the local bikers in the I live where the Confederation of Clubs that was involved in this. I just happened to be in Kansas at the time, so I wasn't there. So a lot of the local guys have chipped in, I think, to help out in different groups and stuff. The difficult thing is the Do Not Associate, so they can't link directly up with these guys. So and that's been a problem for even us finding some of the names. If there's others out there, I hope that hear this story. And Denise has helped us a lot tracking down a lot of people. But if they're hearing us talking today and they're hurting, they need to get a hold of us. Just go through the Income Christian Unity Facebook page. Get a hold of us. We'll get back with you. We'll show you the process. We have an online form that they can fill out to where we get the information, pictures of the bills and stuff like that. Then we confirm to make sure it's a legitimate deal and help them. But if they would get a hold of us, that's the biggest need we have, is the people who are hurting finding us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
we also
and
ask them to contact us by email, so I can give you our email address. And, and that's just
go for that.
ncom.christianunity@gmail.com.
So Christian Unity is one word, no dots?
Yeah. Yeah, no dot with the Christian Unity. It's just ncom.christianunity@gmail.com.
Okay. And so as Christmas is looming and you've got all these families with all these little ones, are you also directing them or helping them with, you know, finding some way to be able to provide presents for the kids? I mean, there's so many Toys for Tots things that motorcycle groups do.
There are some groups that are working right now. We had we did a regional meeting up in Income, and they've been contacting Louis that want to help with gifts. And what we're looking at doing is it'd be a whole lot easier for them, rather than trying the logistics of getting toys from up there down to here. If they'll send the funds and designate they want it to go for Christmas, and they can get it to us quickly to where we can get it to them in time to buy Christmas, it'd be a whole lot easier for us to just take Walmart gift cards or Visa gift cards or something like that to them, to where they can go and shop for their kids rather than trying to get toys to every one of these. Because there's only four of us that are boots on the ground that are meeting with all the families, and part of that is because we want to protect the privacy of all these families that we're helping. We don't give out the names and addresses of the people that we're helping.
Yeah. Are all the families right in that area, or do you have a large,
they're stretched
large
from,
area?
They're stretched. The majority of them are from San Antonio to DFW. The majority of them are stretched along from San Antonio to DFW. We have a few that are as far east as Longview, some that are almost over to Conroe, but the majority of them are stretched between the DFW area, which when you think the DFW area, there's so many people there that live in the entire state of Oklahoma. So it's, and we've got one guy that's meeting with all of those, the families that we're working with up there. And there's two working the central area because it's such a big area. It goes all the way around Waco, all the way down to almost to San Antonio. And then we've got a guy that's working all of San Antonio. Two of us are working the central part. Mm-hmm. So but that's the general geographic area of where everybody is.
Okay, yeah.
And
so this
wasn't
is not something
that
that's going to be... Go ahead.
Wasn't it good that that's an area where we had the MRTs really set up and working strong?
Yeah. If we didn't have that, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. and you already had your team that was put together for, you know, to be able to respond to any large need. And, you know, who knew? Who knew that this was, you know, imminent and that, you know, God was going to use you in this way. I mean, really, you know, you were there to help in, you know, probably for smaller things, never expecting to be involved in this. So
really, hospital visits, jail visits. Going to
but,
funerals,
you know, God,
and doing weddings.
God's never surprised. He knew it was going to where he needed us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we've kind of have an idea of, you know, what needs are there, but mainly you are supporting right now about 50 families, did you say, or did you say 80? I can't remember now.
About 50 families representing
about 50
families. About 80 children. About 80 children.
Okay.
So
50 families with 80 children, but there are many more families that probably just don't even know that the help exists. And
they're just,
you know,
starting
the funny
to come
thing
out
is
of the
you're
woodwork.
Asking yeah, you're asking for people to find you and come out and get the help and I'm sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, you're probably like already maxed out with the people that you're helping, you know? I mean, that's just gonna put that much more stress on.
Well, you know,
it's been going out
as fast as it comes in, and we're just believing God that as the need grows, we're also going to have, because the word's getting out about the need too, and we believe more people will give, and we just believe we're going to have what we need when we have the request. So far, we haven't run out yet. We don't always have a lot,
stretch.
But we haven't run out.
Yeah, well, you know, when I told Louis that I was believing God for $50,000. You know what? It came. And so I'm trusting the Lord for another 50,000, and I want the 50,000, you know, quicker than it took 6 months.
Yeah.
And because the need
yeah.
is so great. The need is so great out there. We have
right.
families that have been, you know, trying to make it on their own, and after 6 months they're tapped out. And so now they're starting to call us. Now they're starting to contact us, but they're still very nervous. So I have to go through Facebook Messenger and visit with them and assure them that we're not going to share their names, that we're only giving the contact information to our chaplains, and they're exempt. They're not going to jeopardize your bond conditions. I mean, you have to do a lot, you know, because people are scared.
And I don't blame them for being scared. This is unprecedented. I believe that this is unprecedented. I cannot believe that they locked up all the witnesses and then made them pay $1 million bond and sign a gag order. It's just, like, to me, unbelievable that could happen in today's world, in today's society. I know you guys can't always say those things, so that's why I'm just going to say what I think. But, you know, to me, it's really horrifying, and I can tell you for a fact that, you know, when we hang up, I'm going to be writing a check and sending it to you, and I'll do some Facebook money too, because what I did was I bought patches, and then I sold the patches for more than I bought it for, and I know that you're using proceeds from the patches that say Remember Waco. You're using those proceeds to help the families, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to, like, do this one more time. I'm going to make it work twice, and so I bought the patches. I sold them for more than I bought them for, and I'm sending you a check for that, plus sending a check from us, so from my husband.
Thank you so much.
And
thank you.
Yeah. I know you can only do what what we help you with, and I'm pleading with motorcyclists to, you know, don't delay. Get off your butts, write out a check to Texas Christian Unity, send it to P.O. Box 2321 in Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. I'm also going to be putting that in the Facebook event, so it'll be there long term. But you can also always go to S7SAM. Yes.
Yeah, and the check itself has to be made out to Shield of Faith.
Oh, it does. Okay, all right. That's very important.
Yeah, we're getting it at the Texas Christian Unity mailbox, but the check is made out to Shield of Faith.
Okay.
Very important.
That's important. Okay, or to make it really easy, you can just go to their website, sofaog.org/, in small letters, Waco-Aide, A-I-D-E. And right from there, you can use PayPal, and that means you can use a credit card, and you can pay for it after Christmas. So go there and help these families and help these people who are serving the families that can only do what we help them with. I'd like to thank you guys for the time that you took to be on this show. I want to end the show by reading the names of the 9 people who were killed. Is there anything else that you guys want to say before I close the show out?
No, thank you very much.
Just keep praying.
Okay, well, you guys, you can hang in here for a little bit while we do this. And I do have somebody who has a question, so I am going to bring them on. I was off of the grid here for a little bit, so I'm going to go back and let this person ask a question before we close things out. And welcome to the Inside Scoop by Spitfire. Who am I speaking to? With a 763 area code. Okay, that person probably gave up on me because I didn't look at this for like 15 minutes. Okay, then we will go into this, the 9 people. Daniel Raymond Boyette. Daniel is 44 years old. He's from Waco. Wayne Lee Campbell. Wayne is 43 years old, and he is from Fort Worth. Richard Matthew Jordan II. He was 31 years old, and he was from Pasadena. Richard Vincent Kirshner Jr., 47 years old, from Wiley. Jacob Lee Rhine, 39 years old, from Ranger. Jesus Delgado Rodriguez, 65 years old, from New Brunswick. Manuel Isaac Rodriguez, 40 years old, from Allen. Charles Wayne Russell, 46 years old, from Tyler. And Matthew Mark Smith, 27 years old, from Keller. Those are the 9 people who died on May 17th, 2015, at Twin Peaks in Waco. Gathering that day for what was supposed to be a gathering of clubs, it was supposed to be a happy day, and ended up as a tragedy where 177 people were jailed, 20 people were injured, and those were the 9 people who lost their lives. This is a tragedy we'll never forget. I know exactly where I was when I heard about this. There is something you can do to help. There are many people suffering, and they need your help by having you send as little as $10, anything you can, $5, whatever it would be. Send money to help these families, particularly here at Christmas time. I'd like to thank the people who came on to talk. That would be Louis and Denise Knobs and Dwayne Grider from the Christian Unity with NCOM, National Coalition of Motorcyclists. Thanks a lot. Next week we're going to lighten things up a bit, and we'll be talking to a wonderful person named Courtney Lambert, and she is from Florida, and she and her husband build motorcycles. So we'll be talking to them. You guys have a great week, And we'll see you at 3 o'clock every Tuesday.